Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
This past Tuesday, I went back and I looked at the message that I preached on December 29th of 2019. Anybody remember where we were? Huntsville Elementary School, man. In the cafeteria. Hanging out. Had 51 people that day. Like, I still remember that day very vividly. And one of the reasons why is because I didn't think we were going to get there. You're going to hear more about that today. But I entitled that message, Remember. And we talked about how when God leads his people to certain places, he called them in the Old Testament to stop and remember what he'd done. And so we were looking at Joshua, and he was getting ready to lead the whole nation of Israel into the promised land, and the Jordan River stood in front of them, right? And it was funny because when God called them to cross the Red Sea, what did he do? He said, just stay on the beach and be still. And he parted the waters, right? Right in front of them. But when they got to the Jordan, they had to put their feet in first. You ever thought about that? If I'm Joshua, I'm going, hey man, Moses didn't have to get his feet wet. But you see, when we take steps of faith, God does what he does. But once they got in the middle of the river, here's what they had to do. God told them to pick up 12 stones from the river. And when they came out on the other side, he told them to set them up as a monument to him of remembrance. And so 2019 for us was a monumental year, man. We had been working and going for about 11 months. Started in my living room. Got to Huntsville Elementary with tons of room and potential. Sky was the limit, right? And then March of 2020 hit. What happened? I got to be honest with you. If you were to ask me in March, would we have a year in review this year, I would have struggled to tell you, yeah. Today's going to be a lot of honesty from your pastor. But I love you. And I don't want today to be about me. I want it to be about God. And so I think in order for that to happen, I need to tell you where I struggled a lot this year. I remember getting the phone call from the principal at Huntsville. And he said, look, man, you can't meet here anymore. We don't know when you'll be able to meet again. Hoping it's temporary like we all thought it was. A few weeks, 14 days. Y'all remember that? 14 days, right? 14 days. And so I just was scrambling, man. I called Shane and I was like, hey, man, we gotta find a place. And God provided a place in like 5 days. Good old Shiloh Community Building, man. Home. We had 57 people in that community building on that Sunday, more than we've ever had. And I just remember sitting in the back of that community building going, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing. This makes no sense to me, but people are coming. Praise the Lord. So we're going to worship, man, right? And so that began probably the toughest year of my life ministerially, right? I didn't know what to do. How do you lead a group of people when you can't see them? When you can't be in a room together? How do you lead a group of people? But as I've thought about the past year, and there's a reason why 2020 is in the rearview mirror. Hope you got that there. All the obstacles and all the uncertainties and all the things that we faced, here's the one thing that I can honestly say has flooded my mind time and time again. I am so thankful. Now, you may not share that sentiment about 2020, and that's okay. I am so thankful for this year. God has allowed me to see his hand move in ways this year that I have yearned to see in my life. Now, why does it have to come through great uncertainty and trial? One day we'll know. But I think one thing is sure, he has had our attention, has he not, this year? And so he's been able to do some things in our church, in my life, in our community, that I don't know if he would have been able to do under any other circumstances. And so I keep thinking about 2020, and I can't escape the word thankful. Now, we're at the end of the 2020, and I will tell you, not all the goals I set for Pioneer Church have been met. There are expectations that I still have to manage every day. I struggle with moving forward confidently in the new year. But I cannot escape the fact that God has been so good to our church, especially in the midst of a pandemic. So here's what I want to do this morning. I have a twofold focus this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start something today. We're actually going to start a new series going through the book of Philippians. So today's kind of a standalone sermon, but we're going to start in Philippians 1. And then for the next 8 weeks, we're going to walk through this book of Philippians. But I think that this is probably one of the best passages that kind of captures what my heart is over the past year and what God has done in Pioneer Church. So I want to look at some of the things that God has done in Pioneer Church this year through the lenses of this passage. And then I want to end by issuing a challenge for us moving into 2021. I have five things that I think we need to focus on as we move into this new year. So a couple of observations about Philippians. Several weeks ago, we went through a sermon where I kind of talked about how the church in Philippi was actually formed. In Acts 16, we'll see this in just a second, Paul is on a missionary journey there, and he meets some people. But this letter to the Philippian Christians is his response to them for the way that they've been able to live with each other over the past several years. And he's writing it where? From prison. Did you know that Philippians is considered one of the happiest books in the New Testament? Written by a man who was in prison. And I think that right there ought to give us some perspective about where he's going in this letter. So let me show you some things from this passage that I want us to kind of take away that'll help explain where God has taken us in the past year. Starting in verse 3, this is what Paul says. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I was thinking about this past year, and I was thinking about, God, what in your word would kind of capture what you've done in us? And this passage immediately came to my mind because the first thing Paul wants to tell his people is thank you. Not just thank you, but I thank God because of you. And man, if I could start today's message anyway, here's what I would say. Thank you, Pioneer Church. You guys have done more than I could ever imagine in a year like we've had. I'm proud of you. I'm humbled to be your pastor. But here's why Paul wanted to thank God for these people. Keep your finger in Philippians chapter 1. Flip over to Acts 16. Here's what happened for Paul to meet these people. I'm going to set this up for you, and then we'll get on into the message. Acts 16, verse 12, and from there we set sail to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. And we remained in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. So she was very wealthy. And she was a worshiper of God. And then the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Now, this may not make a lot of sense to us. We may go, "Man, she just met these guys down at the river. That's weird." But she got saved and baptized, and they were going to move on, right? Paul understood what it was like to be a missionary. He just kind of slept wherever he could. He stayed wherever he could. He depended on the goodness and the generosity of people. And so immediately this woman opens up her home to Paul. "And come stay with me. Come be a part of my household. Let me take care of you." And so you see right off the bat kind of the mindset or the heart that these people in Philippi had. Very generous hearts. So Paul begins to stay, and they stay there for several days. And you begin to see this relationship form between Paul and Luke and Silas and these guys and Lydia and her household. And then we go down a little further in Acts chapter 16, and we see another relationship being formed through some very difficult circumstances. So Paul sees this demon-possessed girl, if you remember, and every day she followed him. She said she was talking about Jesus being the Son of God and all this stuff. And Paul got angry. He got upset. And so what did he do? He turned around and he cast the demon out of the girl. Well, she was basically being used as a tool to make money for these men. And so they got angry. They got angry. They had Paul and Silas arrested and beaten and thrown in jail. Okay? So they're spending the night in jail, midnight. What are they doing? Beaten up and bloodied. Who can tell me? What are they doing in the jail?
Praying and singing.
They're singing and praying. Man, they are singing and praying. And all of a sudden, an earthquake comes. The doors bust open. The guard runs in, right, and he's afraid at what happened, that they'd escaped. And he was ready to kill himself because, listen, you let prisoners escape. It doesn't matter if there's an earthquake. Your life ends. And so Paul says, "Look, man, we didn't go anywhere, right? We're still here." And here's the response. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" And so they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So what are we seeing right here? What are we seeing between Paul and these people in this city that he's never been to? We see the gospel bring them together. And we see relationships formed. We see how God takes and builds a partnership with them. Now, not only relationally as people and as brothers and sisters in Christ, but in the mission that God had for Paul. Now, what was Paul's calling on his life? What was he supposed to do? Take the gospel to the world, right? And so these people at Philippi became vital parts in that mission. And so we see the kindness of these people shown to Paul, and it's an example of the relationship that we should have in the church, right? And we should be generous. We should open up our home. And so we see this relationship being formed. And so here's the first observation I want to show you this morning. Relationships are vital to our spiritual well-being. Man, if 2020 has taught us anything, we need each other. Man, like you guys, some of y'all have known me for several years, and you know that I love Jesus and I love his word and I love people. But like hospital visits, nursing home visits, like I have to work at that stuff. I do. I miss that. Like some of you have had surgery this year and I've had to talk to you on the phone instead of be out there with you. That's hard. I mean, have you felt with the weight of having to walk through this life and kind of feel alone? Kind of feel like you don't have the support system that you used to have. And so 2020 has reminded us, man, of how important the church is. We need each other. But not only is it good for our well-being to be in relationship with one another, it helps the mission of the church go forward. We'll get to this in a few weeks, but I want to show you this morning. He says, not only did you build relationships with me, but you built a partnership with me. And that's the Greek word koinonia. Anybody know what that word means? Kinda, yeah. My scholars, we've heard this word a lot. Most churches build a room dedicated to it. We call it the fellowship hall, right? What do you do in the fellowship hall? You eat chicken, right?
Eat chicken.
Eat chicken and listen to music and have a good time. But that's what we've kind of equated fellowship with being, is this we sit in a room and we just do some good things, right? We enjoy each other's company. But the biblical term for fellowship is so much more than that. You become partners. The actual word means to lock arms and walk through life together. You build an army. And so Paul says, not only have you become my friend, not only have you helped me and you've encouraged me, but you have partnered with me in the work of the gospel. Here's how they did that. Look at this. This is in chapter 4. It was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except only you. And so here's what he's saying, man. I have this special place in my heart for you guys in Philippi because, man, you helped get the gospel outside of your city. You thought about the kingdom outside of your own life. Now, listen to me. This is important. Paul says, nobody else stepped up to help me get the gospel out, but you did. You cared more about the kingdom than you did yourself. And so I got to stop right here, Pioneer. And I have to tell you that this is one of the greatest sources of gratitude in my heart for you this year. You guys have continually shown yourselves and proven yourselves to care more about the kingdom than anything else. Here's some ways. One, you keep showing up. Like, seriously, man. Like, you guys understand, like, when we were at Huntsville, it was great, man. I mean, you know, it was nice. I don't think we realized how nice it was until we moved into Andy, Kate, and Tyler's living room. And you had to watch us on Facebook. And you kept showing up. And then we got the bright idea that we'll just meet outside in my yard. And it was 150 degrees. And you showed up. And then we moved to a park where there was goose poop and people walking by wondering who we were and what we were doing. And we had to unload and reload and move picnic tables. And you guys kept showing up. And you showed up until today. And man, you have shown me, and I am so grateful that you care and you believe in what God is doing here. It's bigger than us. There's kingdom things at work. And so, man, I got to tell you, thank you for being here. But it wasn't just your presence that has amazed me this past year. You have partnered and invested in the mission of Pioneer Church in some amazing ways. You may not realize all of these ways, but you have given your time. Many of you serve on various teams here at the church that help make the church function like it should. You have given your talents. Man, hey, who was here last week Sunday night. I'm going to tell you what, man, that's top-notch stuff, dude. I know I'm biased, but praise God for the talent that he's put in this church. You guys give your treasures. Look, you know that one of the biggest turnoffs about church is money, right? But let me tell you something. Jesus was right when he said, where your treasure is, your heart is there. And you guys want to show where your heart is. You have given to the work of the kingdom. Listen, there's been a lot of unexpected things that we've had to pay for. I mean, we had to move into buying equipment to stream. We weren't going to do that, right? We had to move in this facility and buy new things so we could make it functional to worship. And man, nobody has checked a penny. Praise the Lord. I hope that that's because we've been accountable. I hope that's because you trust us. But man, you guys just want to do the work of the Lord. I can't tell you how refreshing that is. Well, let me give you some more examples of how you've proven that you're about the kingdom. Man, there's a family at Bethany Elementary School that Pioneer Church feeds every week for a whole year. Every week, you guys give money, you give groceries to this family so that they can have food on the weekends. This past year, God has brought 4 people to salvation through the ministry of Pioneer Church. You saw a picture. We got to dunk 3 of them in a portable baptistry in the parking lot of Ferris Park. How cool is that, man? You donated and volunteered to help provide Christmas for 30 families, 80 children this year. Through your tithes and offerings, listen, you guys have given almost $5,000 to local and national missions. Like, you get that. In a year that has been overcome with pandemic, the majority of churches, listen to this, the majority of churches in America right now are operating at a maximum of about 40%. So here's what that means. Even the states where the pandemic is a little bit lower and states where things have been opened up, only 40% of people have come back to church. Check this out, guys. We had at least 4 or 5 Sundays this year where 70 people showed up at our church plant. And you know, can I tell you something? I care about numbers because I care about people. But I'll preach to 2 or 200. But here's my point. In a year where the church has been declining, when there was no reason for us to keep going forward, we've grown. I know today looks like an exception, but it's after Christmas, so give us a break, right? But listen to this. I asked some folks to kind of share some thoughts of this past year, just if they wanted to. And listen to this testimony. He said, God took the craziness of COVID-19 and placed me right where I needed to be in the chaos. While we all hate COVID, COVID helped me find Pioneer online, and I'll be forever thankful for it. God has been so good to me and my family this year. We found a church family, made lifelong friendships, and found the love and support of a wonderful group of kingdom people who make it their mission to live the gospel in a world who needs more than ever to see the church be the church. God continues to bless me and my family each and every day, and for that, I am so thankful. And people started coming to Pioneer Church because we were forced to go online. Now, do I want to go back online? No, I don't. But you see how God has been faithful in the midst of the junk and the chaos. So this morning, man, my heart is so full of gratitude for how you have just let Jesus shine through you and how you have cared more about the kingdom than yourself. And so here's the next thing. Paul, his words kind of take on a deeper meaning as he moves into chapter or verse 6. Listen to what he says. So he's thanked them for their friendship, for their partnership, But then he encourages them with this. He says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. I told you a few minutes ago that I've personally struggled this year. My wife can tell you that I'm not always the most confident person in the world anyway. I've always felt that God made a mistake when he called me into the ministry. Just always have. Because I know who I am. Like, y'all don't know, but I know. But he knows me better than I know myself. And so I fight every day to just be who he's called me to be. It's a fight for me. And so when we walked into this year and we had a new church plant, you guys understand that 80% of church plants fail in the first 2 years. 80%. And then we get hit with COVID and the playbook goes out the window. We're just trying to survive. Every day was a journey for me to let God do what he does. The biggest struggle for me in 2020 has been getting out of God's way and letting him do what he does. And so several weeks ago, I was having lunch with a pastor friend of mine. And here's what he asked me. He said, what's your biggest fear? And I said, well, if I can be honest with you, my biggest fear is that I won't get to do this forever. I love being your pastor. I love coming here every Sunday. I've been in ministry for going on 13 years, and I can honestly tell you that I love it. Maybe for the first time in my life. And one of my biggest fears is that I'll mess it up. And so let me tell you what Paul's saying here. One, I'm sure of something. And here's what he's sure of. Not that you and I have the ability to hold it together and make something succeed, but that there's a God who has started something, and he is faithful to bring it to completion. Can I tell you another observation of Pioneer Church this year that God has just blown me away with? And it's this. Unfavorable circumstances cannot stop God's plan for our lives. Hey, if you don't hear nothing else today, can you please hear that point? You have been bought with a price, and you belong to him. And what he starts, he's going to complete. Is it because you're worthy of it? No. Is it because he's going to start it and then you're going to pick up the slack and you're going to make it happen? No. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing about TJ that's making this thing run. Man, my leadership team, the guys that work closely with me, they probably going to say, man, God is working in spite of TJ. But my confidence is not in me. It's in him. So here's what I want you to understand. Listen, if God's desire is to build his church, if he's promised us in Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, there's nothing else that'll prevail against it either. And so the success of Pioneer Church is not based upon how great or how awesome we are, but on how good he has been. And so for 2021, I'm going to work on something. It's called confidence. And I want you to walk with me into 2021 fully expecting God to do greater things. And we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to speak not just to the future or the church for a minute and what God has done in the church, but many of you guys have seen God do this in your personal life. Some of you have had to bury loved ones this year. Some of you have gone through some medical procedures, and you've endured a year that you don't ever want to repeat again. I get you. And you've allowed me to kind of have a front row seat at watching God be God in your life. I have a few more things I want to show you from our people that they sent in. This is another one. God has been so good to us in 2020. First, he let us have a safe pregnancy in the middle of a pandemic, a healthy delivery, and a healthy baby boy. Also, he's kept our family safe and provided me the next step on in my professional career. The one thing that's always stayed constant for us is our God. No matter in a pandemic or what, he's always been there taking care of us. I promised that I would keep these testimonies anonymous, but this couple had experienced miscarriage after miscarriage. And God allowed them to have a new baby this year in a pandemic. Right? 2020, God allowed us to spend more time together as a family than we ever have. We were able to reprioritize our schedules because of everything being shut down, which in turn gave us focus on our family and God. One of the main things in this family's life that had been lacking was their time together. Young children, working all the time. And through these unfortunate circumstances, God allowed them to reprioritize. And he's been faithful this whole year. I want to read this one to you. This one, I asked these folks if they'd give me one or two sentences. This person wrote a letter. So if you just bear with me for just a second. How has God been good to me in 2020? To start the year off, I had just come out of a 7-year fight for my marriage and family. And for some reason, God didn't let me win that. I started 2020 beat up and confused. And I felt like I just stepped out of the boxing ring, still on my feet, but wounded and ready to heal. I'd heard all the promises of God, that God is working all things together for our good. I'd seen evidence of that in my life, and I truly believed it, but to be fully restored, and then some, that probably wasn't going to happen for me, or that's what I thought. That's for the people who write books. But God showed up, and he showed off this year. And in no small way, God's plan for family, for Pioneer Church, was a part of it all. And to start off with, what a blessing to my life it's been seeing our church grow and just radiate Jesus. Whether moving picnic tables, putting up chairs, or knocking down walls, the fellowship with the church family has just been a joy to me and my family. God's been good this year in my friendships, especially through my small group. We continue to build strong bonds, and there's some fine men there, and they've helped strengthen me. God's been good in growing my sons this past year with all the COVID mess. My boys are home more, and they've got to spend time with me and some other godly men from this church. And it's had a great impact on their life, maturing them more than the school would. And with that, one son made a profession of faith and was baptized this summer, confirming his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't get any better than that. God's been good in 2020 through being able to help start a young men's small group here. And I am just excited to share and work and teach these young men how to come alongside other fine young men. God is so awesome. God's been so good pouring into my life this year through Pioneer, through my boys, my friends and brothers, family that I can just want to be with and want to influence for the kingdom everywhere I go. And if all that goodness wasn't enough, this fall, God brought a beautiful, godly woman into my life. along with her two beautiful children. I can't begin to describe what her and her children mean to me without typing another hour. And I'll save that for another day, but just know this. God answered my prayer, not just part of it, but fully, 100%. He dotted every I and he crossed every T through her. He has showed me he truly is listening and he cares, even for an old boy like me. 2020 has been God's way of putting back together the broken and missing pieces of my life without my hand directing any of it. He's been awesome to look back on. If 2020 wasn't your year, he said 2013 through 2019 wasn't mine either. I just want to encourage you to hang in there. He hasn't forgot about you. Put all your eggs in his basket because he is able. Would I do 2020 over again? It's tempting, but no. And he said, I wouldn't because I'm too excited to see what God's got going on in 2021. Hey, man, that's pioneer people. I think it's worth mentioning, as I said earlier, that Paul wrote this letter. He wrote this passage that he was confident that what God starts, he's going to finish, from one of the darkest places Paul had ever been. And you may be here this morning, and you may be wanting to get excited about all God's done in 2020, but you're really struggling because it's been dark for you. Can I tell you something? The story is not over. He's writing something beautiful. And you are a character in that story. And so Paul says with great hope, God's purposes will prevail. His plan will be fulfilled. His people will be blessed by God. Which leads me to the third and final observation before I give you this challenge. Because of the relationships and the partnership in the gospel that God had orchestrated between Paul and these Philippian believers, and because of the wonderful work that God had begun to do in them, the promise of bringing it to completion meant that there was no reason, hear me now, there is no reason for Paul not to desire and expect greater things in the future. Man, I'm going to need your help on this morning with this third and final one. But this is what I believe God has called us to. Man, we should desire and ask for and expect greater things from God in 2021. Now, many of you may be going, man, I don't know. It feels like I've kind of escaped by the skin of my teeth in 2020. I don't want to risk it, right? But can I ask you a question? Does God want to see people saved? Yes, he does. Does God want to see his church thrive in this world? Then why can't we believe it? Why can't we ask for it? And why shouldn't we expect him to do it? Now, here's what I need you to understand. We don't ask these things because of us. We're not wanting our life to be better, right? We're not asking God to do greater things so that we can poke our chest out and say, man, look at me. Because God is the one who gets the glory. But listen to what he said. Paul says, it's right for me to feel this way about you. It's right for me to love you, to be grateful for you. It's right for me to believe that greater things are ahead because I hold you all in my heart and you are partakers with me of this grace. And let me just stop right here for a minute. Those of you who are Christians, who are saved, how fully saved are you? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, are you 90% saved? That's an easy one. You're not. You're 100%. He has fully forgiven you. You are a full partaker of the grace of God. It's 100% yours. You don't ever have to do anything to get it, any more of it. And so my point is this. Man, if you believe that, why would you not believe that for other people? Why would you not want God to do that in someone else's life? So Paul says, look, man, I'm not reserving it for just me. We are all testimonies of being partakers of this grace. And so I want to see this grace go out as far as it can to other people. He says, for God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And so what he's saying is, man, I don't want this to stop. I don't want it to end. I want this to permeate every part of the world until Jesus comes back. And so here's my question this morning. As great as God's been in your life, as great as God's been in Pioneer Church's life, don't you believe that he wants to continue to do that and reach more people for the kingdom in 2021? We're not done. We have not arrived. We live in a county, listen, we live in a county of 91,000 people. 85% of them are lost. Like, y'all get that? 85% of this county is lost and will die and go to hell. We got the answer. So let's keep trucking, right? Let's ask him for more. My prayer is this, man. My prayer is that next year I can stand. I don't know if it'll be on this stage or not. I don't know. But wherever we get to stand, December 2026, I checked it. It's the day after Christmas in 2021. I want to stand here, hopefully, and I want to preach to twice as many people who have been saved and cleansed and forgiven. And I want to brag about how good God's been in 2021. Now, it's a good thing to want God to show off for us. It's a good thing to ask him to continue to be a part of redeeming the world, for him to let us be a part of that. It's a good thing to expect him to do that. But remember, it's about him and his grace. But there's some things that God's calling us to do to prepare for that future. Okay? And so Paul ends this passage with a prayer, and I want us to look at this prayer as a challenge for us moving into 2021. So I'm going to give you these five things and we'll be done. So at the risk of sounding contradictory, it is God's grace that has done all this, right? But we have a responsibility in the continuation of it. I want to give you this key point. It's on the bottom of your handout. God's grace is free. Amen? We didn't earn it. We don't do anything to deserve it. His grace is free and not based on our actions. However, the blessings of God we enjoy are often determined by our actions. And I've thought a lot about that. I've thought, man, is that true? Is that really true, man? Because, you know, grace is free and it's unmerited and we get to receive it fully. But I wonder how many of us are missing out on the blessings of God because of the way we live in that grace. So here's some things that I think God is preparing for us moving into 2021 that we need to think of that will allow us to participate fully and joyfully and be as effective as we can be for his kingdom in Rockingham County. All right? So, let me give you the first one. Here's the first one. Five things we got to commit to. We got to keep loving each other in truth and in wisdom. Now, the reason why I put truth and wisdom in there is because Paul did. Listen to what he says. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Here's what he's saying. Man, church, it's your goal to make sure that you are growing in your love for each other, not just for him, but for one another. Now, let me get real with you for a minute. That's easier said than done. You guys understand how many opinions are in the world today. I always use this as an example. Man, me and my wife can't even agree on where to go eat, and it's just us, right? So that it's amazing to me that God would call people from all different aspects of life and all different backgrounds, and he put us in a room together, and he would say, now show the world what my love looks like. That's impossible to do apart from him. But it's our calling. It's our highest calling, the Bible says. Jesus said, this is the main way that people are going to know that you're my disciple. It's how you love each other. He tells us in his word that the love that we have for each other covers a multitude of sins. And so he gives us this specific way to show this love. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. So what is he saying? Knowledge refers to an understanding of the truth, right? So the way we love one another is in truth. Well, what does that look like? How do we love one another in the truth? Well, for starters, we don't let people drift from the truth that we love. I have this saying that I've said all my life, if I tell you I love you, but I don't tell you the truth, I don't really love you. Love can't exist apart from truth. So here's what that looks like, man. It looks like we love people in this room enough to call them out when they're in sin. That we love people enough to give them godly advice, not popular opinion. Are you hearing me this morning? I can't love you and lead you away from Jesus. We're to love one another in a way that keeps us drawn into the truth of God's word. And listen, we can't be a church that seeks to stay in the blessings of God and allow us to participate in what he's doing for his kingdom if we refuse to submit to his truth. We got to show that we love one another by helping one another stay in the truth of God's word. But here's the second thing. We also to love each other in wisdom. I have a way that I explain wisdom to my kids, and it's pretty simple. But wisdom is knowledge with experience. You know, you can have knowledge, right? You can know all you need to know about something, but if you've never applied it or you haven't applied it long enough, you don't have wisdom in it. And wisdom is failing sometimes, right? It's knowing what not to do. And so wisdom is knowledge plus experience. It's insight about life. And so here's what he's also saying. Not only are you to love in truth, but you are to be your brother's keeper. You hear me? We got to be in each other's stuff. Not pointing a finger and being judgmental. Not condoning what's wrong, but we've got to be in their stuff with them, showing them what's right. And so there's two things that are required in order to do that: patience, persistence. Hey, church, we can't give up on each other. We're all a work in progress, man. Now, let me warn you a little bit here. Both of these ways that we love each other have the potential to offend greatly. I mean, can I tell you something about 2020? If it showed us anything, it's how easily offended we get. Let me tell you something, man. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. Nobody likes to have their stuff pointed out. But the greater sin is allowing us to continue in sin and not love each other to hold one another accountable. So, man, if you and I are going to be a part of the blessings of God in 2021 as a church, we got to love each other the right way. We've got to love one another in the truth. Number two, we got to make kingdom things the priority. Look at verse 10. We're to love each other so that you may approve what is excellent. Now, the reason why we must love one another in truth and in wisdom is not just so that we'll get along in here, but the direction of the church is at stake. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of us have been a part of a church in conflict. How many of you have ever been a part of a church that really didn't love each other? Now, here's my next question. How well was the mission of God being carried out in that church? Let me tell you something. The first thing to go in an unhealthy church is the mission. The money can stay for a long time, but the mission of God ceases when we get our attention off of the mission and onto ourselves. And that happens when we refuse to love one another correctly. Y'all know the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? You see, the best thing we can do with the squeaky wheel is put the right grease on it. You know what I mean by that? You tracking with me? Speak the truth in love in all things. We do not let anybody have priority other than God, because this is His church. And so we've got to understand that loving each other helps us make the right decisions for the ministries of the church. And so Paul urges these Philippians, and here's my challenge for you this morning, to be a church in 2021 that makes the kingdom the highest priority. Here's what that means. There's going to be things that God leads us to do that you might not like. There's going to be things that God leads us to do that makes us uncomfortable, that stretches us, that will call us to reach a people that may not look like us, smell like us, talk like us. But what's the priority? The kingdom of God. Pioneer Church, you have been about the kingdom thus far. Let's keep making it about the kingdom. Number three. We should be serious about our pursuit of holiness. Man, if I had time, I really would like to park here for a little bit. And honestly, I'll get into this the next couple of weeks. But here's what that means. Paul says that we're to love each other, to approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. This word pure in the Greek means unmixed. So here's the thing. These merchants used to sell porcelain. They'd sell porcelain bowls and cups and things like that. And of course, you know, things would get chipped and cracked. And so instead of throwing it away and taking a loss, they would melt wax and they would put it in the crack, right? To give off the appearance that what they were selling was good and intact. But what would happen if you got that pot, that porcelain pot, home and put heat on it? The wax is going to melt and it's going to expose what's really there. So here's what Paul's saying. Don't be a wax pot. Don't be a hypocrite. Live the life that God has saved you to live. And what life is that? It is a life of holiness. Don't be an imposter in the kingdom of God. Now, let me clarify something. Here's a misconception about holiness. Holiness is not perfection. You hear me, church? There's only one who's perfect, and He's making us perfect. We're not there yet. God did not call you to be perfect. You know what He called you to be? Holy. You know what holiness means? Set apart. God's not calling you to be perfect, but He is calling you to be different. Are you hearing me, church? Here's what that means. It means your life can't look like the world's. Your relationships can't look like the world's. Your hobbies, your passions can't look like the world's. Because then you're just like everybody else. You are called to be holy. And so how do we do that? It's simply this. It's a commitment to live what the Bible says. You know why it's so important to read your Bible every day? Because it exposes things about you that God wants to change. And an unwillingness to do that proves that we don't care about being holy. There's nobody in this room that can say that they've arrived. There's nobody in this room that says they got it all together, and I'm the first one to say it. And so in 2021, you and I need to begin by opening this up and letting it read us. And so let me say something to you. If there's something in your life that you know is sin, you got to change it. You got to confess it. You've got to repent of it. And you've got to call it what it is and get out from under it. Listen to me. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. Hey, that ain't a threat. That's not a threat. But you have a God who loves you, who gave his very best for you. And how dare we think that we get to live however we want and take his grace freely. Hebrews 12 says this, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And church, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit tell you what that means. But everything we've celebrated and talked about today can be ruined and may not be repeated if we aren't committed to being holy. Number four. We've got to display a righteousness, and it's different than holiness. Display a righteousness that correctly reflects the one who lives in us. So where does our righteousness come from, church? Christ. He is our righteousness. He makes us righteous. And so the calling to be holy is just to reflect what God's already done in us. You know what's so great about the gospel? Is that he saved us before we ever deserved it. He called us to be his before we did anything to say we're worth it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So here's what it looks like. He gave us righteousness. He gave it to us free. And then he says, now show me what it looks like to the world. And you do that by living a holy life. You see, we live righteously not because of us, but so that we may accurately reflect the one who lives in us. We are to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And so what does that look like for us? Man, it means we love the way Jesus loves. We serve the way Jesus has served us. We speak the truth as he puts the truth in us. And we walk as he walked. 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Do you understand that you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and he has given you everything you need to live a life that is pleasing to him? And then finally, here's the last thing that we need to commit to, that God in his glory would be our highest goal. Man, this goes without saying, but I think we need to end on it this morning. The reason why we do what we do, the reason why you give your money, the reason why we set up and we tear down and we move all these things and we write sermons and we lead worship and we teach kids and all this. The reason we do that is because we know that there's a God in heaven who deserves all the glory in the world that we can give him. It's not so that we can look at us and go, look, man, look how great Pioneer Church is. It's so that we can give glory to God. Can I tell you what the number one danger is for a church? Success. Success. So this time next year, as we sit wherever we are, I pray that we can say that Jesus has been glorified more this year than he ever has been. But the question is that we need to run into 2021 with is, who do we want to get the credit for all that comes from our church? If you keep that answer being Jesus, we don't have anything to worry about. So here's my question. What do you want to do, Pioneer? I don't want to fold it up. I don't want to call it quits. I think we're just getting started. I think the better days, the best days are ahead of us. And I cannot wait to see what he does in a group of people who are willing to live what we've seen today in the scriptures and let him bring glory and honor to us. So, man, let's get to work. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. I thank you for these people and their willingness to listen to a preacher just rant about how good you are. But God, I believe that your desire is not for us to be done, to not think that we've arrived, but to thank you for where we've been. And God, to walk boldly into this next year with a passionate desire to see you bring glory and honor to us, or to yourself through us. And God, I just pray that right now, as we prepare our hearts to go into this new year, that you would, God, just show us what is in our heart. Show us our life. God, if there's anything in us today that is an offense to you, or would you reveal it to us? And God, don't let us stay there. Don't let us be comfortable in that. But Lord, would you give us the strength, the courage, and the desire to confess it and repent of it, God, to move into this new year with holiness and a focus on you that can't be swayed and can't be altered by the circumstances. And God, one thing is for sure, God, you are so much bigger than our circumstances. You've proven that time and time again this year. And so, Lord, continue to allow us, please, to trust you as we move forward. And God, every good thing that we accomplish, Lord, may you alone receive all the glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.